Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Chicago, Illinois, and earned a Bachelor of Business Administration degree from William Tyndale College. He's been telling us the weather for 30-plus years, the last 23 at WDIV-TV. The winner of 2 Emmys, he's also an avid pilot and scuba diver. He has an endless curiosity to experience life's many wonders. His name, Chuck Gatica. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything is Possible with Jack Rasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We've been watching for the last 23 years on WDIV-TV. Our guest tonight, Chuck Gatica. Chuck, honor to have you.
Well, nice to be here. Thank you. Honor's mine.
First question is, how do you get that hair to look so good every night?
Well, I Velcro it on. I send it out, and then it comes back and looks like this. Now, I was just, it's so funny. I was just at the sports club, and I just shampoo with whatever's there, and it just works. I don't know.
And you get it cut at Jack's in Northville.
Jack's Barbershop, right?
What does he charge you?
$14.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Jack, I'm coming. Can we start, Chuck, by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, mom and dad live in Warren right now. So there is a Chuck Gatica Sr. and Jerry Gatica, and they live in Warren. But I grew up on the north side of Chicago, inner city, right on the north side. So I used to take buses to see, Cubs games at Wrigley Field. Went to elementary school there, right in the neighborhood. Went to Lane Tech High School, which is a gigantic high school. I look back now, and it's 6,000 kids. So I've gone to reunions, and people would walk up and say, "Hi, remember me?" And I have no idea. And then I started out to be a doctor at Loyola, right on the Lakeshore campus in Chicago. So I was really destined, I thought, to be in Chicago my whole life. And then things just changed. I nothing against doctors. I just decided not to become one.
Well, you're a doctor of weather now.
I guess I am.
Okay. Yeah. What's the biggest thing your mom taught you, and what's the biggest thing your dad taught you?
My mom and dad, let's see, dad taught me to, he was a factory worker. He did real estate for a little while, but both mom and dad worked for Bell and Howell. My whole family, really, if you look at it, growing up, worked for Bell and Howell. They were either making the projectors we saw movies on or repairing them. So I guess work ethic, I got that from both of them, I think. With my mom, and my grandmother, probably learned, to my detriment, how to cook. But more importantly, how to lick the bowl. So when I made cake and brownies, I was that guy.
In the spatula?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, unbelievable. Your dad wanted you to be a dentist.
Yes.
And you said you went. How did you go from being a dentist to a weatherman?
Well, I was in my first half semester. I had majored in science and math in high school. You could declare a major at this high school. And I was actually strong in math and science back in elementary school. I used to board a CTA bus every day in elementary school and bus halfway across town to, I used to call it special school. It was gifted classes, So I would go to special math classes. And so by the time I got ready for college, it was a pretty easy walk into Loyola, which was nice for me. And about halfway through my first semester, I just decided, I don't think I want to do this. And I don't think I had enough guidance at the time. I think if I would have had a little more nudge to stay put, I would have. But anyway, I dropped out, and I went to work for the Walgreens Drugstore Company, and I was an assistant store manager, which meant I was a stock boy with a key to the safe. And so I used to schlep toilet paper boxes and all kinds of things, and I worked there for a little less than a year, maybe 7-8 months. Trying to figure out what to do and saving my money like a little squirrel, putting it away, knowing I was going back to school, but I had no idea what to do. And then I wound up, it just came to me like a light bulb went off. I sat down and I did something that even as adults, friends of mine still have a hard time doing. I did an inventory of my skills and what I'd like to be. And it hit me. I'm strong in science and math. I liked performing, but not so much as an actor. I don't mean that. I just thought being a TV news person sounded interesting, but then it hit me, science and math, what about TV weather? And so I had already agreed to transfer to Southern Illinois University, and they didn't have a major program in meteorology, but they had some classes, and then I kind of took off from there.
You had jobs in different states. How was it you ever got to Detroit?
I started off, left school in Carbondale, Illinois, and got my first job offer in Evansville, Indiana. Buddy and I had an apartment that we shared in Carbondale. We were college friends and roommates, and we both drove in the same car to the same job interview, and they had two jobs. One was reporter, and one was the TV weather person. And they let him come in first, and he got an offer. He came out, and he looked at me, gave me a thumbs up, and I went in, and I sat down, and they said, well, we're going to make you an offer. We'll give you either job. You can be the 5-day-a-week TV reporter, or we think we'd like you to be our new weather guy and Sunday night news anchor. And I said, well, which pays more? And they said, the weather guy, Sunday night news anchor. I said, well, I'm your new weather guy. So we both moved together.
What did it pay?
$15,000 a year. Yeah. And so we moved together, and he and I were buddies. We roomed in Evansville, and I was on a one-year contract. And in about 9 months into the deal, I decided it was time for a change. I had interviewed at two TV stations, one in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, the home of Rush Limbaugh, and although I didn't know it then, and Evansville. And Cape Girardeau kept calling and saying, there's still a job, there's still an opening, would you come? And I said, I can't. And finally, I acquiesced, and I took the job offer in Cape Girardeau. And so I got myself fired on purpose, and I got fired right on the spot, and I had a job waiting for me in Cape. And my wife, Susan, and I had met about 6 months earlier, and the day I got fired in Evansville, my first job, mind you, I'm scared to death of all that's going on. I called her up, and I asked her if she could come over to our little apartment where my friend Bruce and I were rooming, and I got down on one knee, and I said, I'm moving to Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which neither one of us knew anything about. I have no money. I have a TV from Montgomery Ward's and a couch. Would you move, and would you marry me? And she said yes. So I gave her an IOU for a ring, too, and she still went with me.
5 kids later, you've done okay.
Yeah.
We're talking to Chuck Gatica, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Chuck Gatica, 2-time Emmy Award winner and loved by everybody in this area. It's tough to get two people to really have great chemistry every night.
Yeah.
You've got four. You've been together. Devin is the junior at 15 years. How do you explain that phenomenal chemistry?
You know, I think it's very unique in my career. I worked in a lot of different places and have been a visitor in other places where I've walked in and I don't know a soul, you know. So Evansville, Cape Girardeau, we moved to Little Rock, Arkansas, and then we jumped to Detroit. And I didn't start at Channel 4. I started at Channel 2. And I was part of a team that was morphing into some group of people. And so then I moved over to Channel 4, and I walked in with Bernie, Carmen, and Mort Krim. And then Mort retired, and we brought Devin in. And so it was a unique combination with Mort, and then to Devin's credit, to come into a group of three and to be welcomed in. What's unique in my career, Jack, is that I work with a group of people that I look forward to working with every day. And so even though we live in different parts of town, we don't hang out all the time, we are friends, and I think it shows. I think that some of the best compliments I get is that people will walk up to me and say, it looks like you're having fun, that you like each other. And I say, yeah, it's true. We're not faking it.
Tell us one story, if you would, about Devin, Carmen, and Bernie.
Let's see. About Devin. Well, we used to live on the east side, close to each other, and we probably have spent more personal time together when my family lived on the east side. So we had a cottage up north, and he and his wife, Corey, and the kids came up to be with us up near Boyne. So we became really good friends, you know, off camera as well as on camera. And I've watched him grow. He's a very artistic guy. So he's a really good person. And I think we became good buddies because of that off camera as well. Carmen is very giving. She's as sweet as what you see, it's what you get. And so I have been to the wedding of her daughter. I've come to know her husband, Andy, very well. We're really good friends. And every once in a while, at the end of a week, Andy will surprise all of us as we're walking off the newscast after the late news is done. And he will bring us all a little taste of a non-alcoholic champagne to toast the week. So it's kind of a neat thing that he does as a habit. And really, she's involved. It's just that she's been working. And with Bernie, he and I are sort of like the bookends. Carmen and Devin are mom and dad, and Bernie and I are sort of the kids that get out of hand every once in a while. So we can be serious when we need to be, but he purposefully has fun, never at my expense, but likes to involve me in his fun, which I look forward to every single day.
You hear one bad story after another, night after night. Chuck Etica, how do you stay so positive?
I think it's the reason I didn't go into news to begin with directly. I let my personality drive me toward weather and the science and math thing, of course. But I think I would have gotten a lot more cynical if I were out on the street reporting every day. For me, the way I deal with it now, because I walk in, I've got monitors everywhere in my office. I'm not just watching us. I'm watching cable and all the cable channels and the competition. So I'm seeing stories over and over again. I think for me, the way I deal with it, I hope I'm grounded in my faith. And I also think that one of the other things that gets me to where I'm going is that I always try to figure out in my mind, how could I help in some way? It may not be an obvious way. I don't do things to help people to stand on the corner and yell about it. But I try to turn it into something positive. So I think it inspires me sometimes to help people around me in different ways.
You've been involved in America's Thanksgiving Day Parade for 20-plus years. It's the one morning each year where all peoples come together.
Yeah.
You know, all the races, all of the classes of people. How do you explain that one morning each year?
I find it extraordinary because some mornings we're freezing and people are taking their morning. I'm not sure who's cooking. In my case, I know Susan's at home. But I don't know how it all works. I think it's Americana. I think that's part of it. And I think that unlike a lot of other holidays, Thanksgiving, because of the warm and fuzzy nature of gathering with your family, giving thanks to God, the meal itself, gathering around a table, a harvest, if you will. I think it's one of those few times in America where we immediately go back in our minds to where we have been. It's a very gentle reminder of people we've been with in our past. I think that's delightful. I find great pleasure in that.
A few years ago, you gave the commencement speech at St. Clair County Community College.
Yeah.
You said a few things. One, true success is the becoming. Please.
It's the starting. It's the trying to figure out what path to get on, because we all, especially in today's world, we need it all now. I mean, just watch the news. We need answers today about the oil spill and about... So we're all so inundated with needing a text right now that gives us answers. Becoming something starts with the becoming. You've got to get on some kind of path. And for me, I don't know that I did it myself. I look back now, even when I changed schools and dropped out of college and moved into a little different career, you know, I look back at it now, and I think God kind of picked me up by the collar and he was kind of moving me along. There was a plan.
Point number two, find time to think.
Who has that anymore?
Vanna White.
I got a 6-page letter from a senior citizen, 3 pages double-sided, written. And I thought, who takes time to write anymore? And it's along the same lines. Who takes quiet time to pray, to think, to ponder? I mean, those are words that I think are important words. And some of the greatest things that I've ever come up with, ideas, relationships, new business ideas, it's been in quiet time, maybe even jogging. It doesn't have to be while you're sitting in solace, you know, in the dark. I have found that taking time to think is critical in my success anyway.
Point number three. Ask. Don't be afraid to ask.
If you want something, and especially, I learned this with this little professional theater we built in Northville, the Tipping Point Theater. If you have passion about something, and you can explain your passion, and you ask, and then be quiet, You'd be surprised how many people will step up to help you, regardless of what you're asking about, as long as it's legitimate.
You ended the speech, Chuck Gatica, with a poem by Napoleon Hill from his most famous book, Think and Grow Rich. That's the Bible of all self-help books.
Sure.
Would you share with us, if you think you're beaten, you are?
If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost certain you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. For out of the world we find, success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win the prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can.
That's by Napoleon Hill in his book, Think and Grow Rich. Chuck Gatica, you have a great curiosity to learn of and experience life's many wonders. How did you get that?
You know what? I don't think I got it from my folks. I think it just, it's really adventure. It's something I've got curiosity about every part of God's creation every day. And so it could be the wonder in a raindrop or a snowflake, or it could be, well, how can I learn how to fly an airplane when I'm in my 30s? And then how do I get an instrument rating? And how can I fly through a hurricane? You know, what do you mean I can adventure to the top of Mount Kilauea where there's lava? You know, and so for me, all of those adventures, yeah, I guess curiosity is a good word, but for me, adventure, calculated risk, not being risky, not being, especially since I didn't start many of these adventures until I had a family going, I've never had a lot of risky business, but a lot of people look at it and say, well, what do you mean you went to the Amazon in the jungle for 10 days? That was dangerous, I guess, but it was calculated. A lot of people go, they come back. I thought, well, what a great opportunity.
You're a true student of life. And today, you have to keep learning while you're earning.
Sure.
And that's tough for a lot of people to take risk and chances. What do you say to those people?
You've got to find time. You really do. And that's part of the thinking part. It's a thing I battle every single day. This day, this weekend, last week, I've been thinking, how do I find time in my week to just have some quiet time, to get rid of that clutter? You know, it feels like we're all running so hard, we've run right into the side of the Fisher Building at, you know, the 10th floor, and we slide down that slick surface. We never get to the thing we're trying to find because there's so much going on, texting, cell phones. And so for me, I think finding time to be quiet and then assigning value to that. A lot of people don't assign value to their time. I learned in business classes, it's called opportunity cost. If someone offers you $10,000 for your lunch hour today, you would say, well, why? Oh my gosh, why wouldn't you take that? If you promise that hour to your wife and you say no to her, there's an opportunity cost that you've lost. That time was valuable. And so many times I'll get an offer to go give a speech for a fee, and I'll say no, because what I had planned with my family has more value than what I was offered in money. And I think sometimes we don't assign enough value to the things that are important.
We're talking to Chuck Gatica. When we come back, we'll ask him about his latest adventure. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Chuck Gatica, who gives us the weather every night on WDIV-TV. And you've been doing really, really good since early spring. Keep it up. What's your latest adventure, Chuck Gatica?
Well, I decided to go back for a master's degree. And it's going to take me a while because I'm still working, you know, a couple jobs, and I have a family. But I don't know why yet, but I decided to go back for some theological training. I read the Bible a lot. I understand it more and more. I like it. And I decided I wanted to have some formal training. And when I say I don't know why, I don't have a plan. You know, I wish God would catch bushes on fire, or right now he would skywrite, you know, Chuck, here's what I'd like you to do. He doesn't talk to me like that. So I don't have a specific reason yet, except for the fact that, again, I'm curious, which you've pointed out. And I think it may be a good credential to have. And then the next question would be, for what? And I don't know. I'm having the most fun being confused ever. I'm not looking to change my job. I'm kind of at the top of my game. I make a nice living. I have a nice family life. Everything is great. I'm not looking to change anything. But I think it's really cool. I'm having a ball doing it.
About a month ago, you gave the Saturday and Sunday talk at Oak Point Church,
right.
Bob Chirac's church. And your sermon was The Perfect Storms of Life.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I haven't had a lot of them. And so some of us can relate to that as well as relating to having storms that come and go. But in our daily life, like the natural phenomena we call storms, we'll get a few tomorrow, God has guaranteed that we are going to have storms in our life. And you say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean he's guaranteed? If you read the book, it says that they're going to come, that they're guaranteed that we will all have some trials and tribulations in our life. And there's a book that I used in the sermon, and the book is a book that was written by a rabbi, Harold Kushner. And most people think the name of the book is Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. We say that a lot. You know, somebody we know dies suddenly. We say, why did that happen to such a good guy at such a young age? But the actual name of the good rabbi's book is When Bad Things Happen to Good People. We've just kind of changed it. So even the rabbi recognized it's not a matter of how or whether you're a good Christian or not, or a good Jew or not. It's a matter of when. It's a matter of time before somewhere in our lives a storm will come. And then the question is, where are you grounded? How are you going to deal with that storm?
You talked about, quote unquote, life vests for life.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, when I flew through the eye of a hurricane 9 times, they gave us a briefing. And they said underneath every other seat, there's a life raft. If the plane crashes into the Atlantic Ocean in 50-foot waves and 140-mile-an-hour winds, we want you to swim for the life raft and pull the ripcord and then climb in. Any questions? And I raised my hand and he said, what? I said, you mean we're going to come out alive in that little life raft in 50-foot waves? He said, oh, no, we're all going to die, but you need to know where it is. I think we need to know where the life vests are in life, where to turn when the storms hit. And it may not be that the outcome is what we hoped for. You know, sometimes we pray or we hope for what we want, as if God is Santa Claus. And sometimes God's will means that there's going to be more to the storm than we were bargaining for. But we need to know where the life vests are.
Not only knowing, but these inevitable storms of life, how do we prepare for them, Chuck Gatica?
Well, my view, I come at it from a Christian point of view, so the rabbi would probably have a different view, and you know, others would as well. My point of view would be the way we prepare is we need to, A, know they're coming. It's like me being on TV and issuing a storm warning. You know, it's coming. You need to know it's coming. And that's why it was important to get the point across. It's not a matter of why or how, it's when. Somewhere along the way, there's a Christian song out right now, contemporary Christian song, that says we're all just a phone call away from dropping to our knees. We're all just one phone call away from somebody on the other line saying, someone close has passed. You've lost your job. Somebody's been in a car accident. And if that's true, when those storms hit, where are you rooted? And how are you going to deal with them if you're just going through life hoping you... I guess that's the only place that I differentiate myself from Napoleon Hill is... I don't put all the value of where I'm going in just positive mental attitude. I think it's important, but I think you need to be rooted in something deeper than that.
During that sermon, you used two verses. One was Psalm 34, verse 18. What does that tell you?
In this, and you've circled this, something important, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You know, that means that we're not going to be left alone, no matter what. And sometimes, again, this idea that, please, 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 God, don't let me lose my job. And then you still lose it. And people get angry at God. Or they say, don't let Dad die. You know, let him go. Let him be here for a while. And he still does. What does that mean? Well, that really does mean God has a different plan. It's, or the thing you were praying for takes a while longer for the answer to come. And so oftentimes I think when we're in the midst of being brokenhearted or crushed in spirit, we haven't had the time to realize We may not know the answer. Maybe it's not for 5 years or 10 years, but an answer may be coming.
And the second verse was Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 25, where Jesus calms the storm. What does that tell you?
Well, first of all, it shows you in this particular verse, you know, you've got Jesus who's in a boat. First of all, he was taking a nap. I mean, if I'm going out boating, the guy I want in a boat when the storm kicks up is God in my boat, you know? So you've got in this verse two things that this illustrates. One, God is man, because God doesn't need to take a nap, but Jesus is taking a nap before they wake him up. And then you've also got Jesus as God, the Son. Jesus has the power to calm the storms, but maybe he wants to test us every once in a while. Maybe there's a reason for suffering. I mean, it's all real deep questions, but maybe, you know, he didn't calm the storm before they set out. He let these guys get scared. And then they finally had to wake him up and say, Master, Master, what's going on? You know, I thought you're God. Why are we in the middle of a storm?
There's a story about a chair at Oak Point. Share with us about the chair.
Well, I suggested a new way of promoting people's personal testimonies at Oak Point Church, was the church we go to in Novi. And I said, wouldn't it be cool if we found a chair that was really cool and nicked and gnarly and rooted, that we could tell people's stories, their testimonies in life, good or bad. And so we went on a worldwide search for a chair. And I found this chair, if you can believe it, up north. It's made of teak roots. And if you see it, it's all twisted, gnarly, and all intertwined. And for all the obvious things that I've just talked about, it's interesting and how that relates to people's lives, how we're all connected, how we're rooted sometimes, how we can be rooted in God's Word. And so what we do with this storytelling method is we'll say to someone, you tell me what you do that makes you tick. And I had a kid at Novi High. He said, I play football for Novi High. And he writes scripture on his tennis shoes. So people will look down at his shoes and say, what's that? And it gives him an opportunity to start to talk about God. So I said, well, what I want to do with this chair is I'm going to take it to the places that make people tick. So we took the chair right to the middle of his football field and put it on the football field and let him sit in the chair to tell his story. And so the chair is really just an interesting way of allowing people to have us come to them to tell us a little bit about their life.
We're talking to Chuck Gatica, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Anything Is Possible with Jack Rasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Chuck Gatica, avid pilot, scuba diver, father, dad, a real adventurer of life. Chuck, that sermon, The Perfect Storms of Life, if you would, what's been the toughest one or two storms in your life?
Without any question, the toughest storm, I mean, we've had challenges, health challenges with our kids. You know, our oldest daughter was born premature for a new couple. That was something. We had a daughter who doctors thought was a Down's child. And we saw a doctor who presented us with a pamphlet on abortion and said, why don't you make a decision right now? I'll be back in 5 minutes. And she actually left the room and came back. We'd already made up our mind. If that were our challenge, that would be fine. And it turned out our daughter didn't have Down's. Our son has an autoimmune disease that nearly took his life. He's got autoimmune hepatitis, so his liver is always going to be challenged throughout his life, perhaps. But probably the most impactful beyond kids was I was 10 years old, and I had a favorite uncle. He was 39, and even alongside my dad, he was the guy who I built snowmen with. He got me hooked on James Bond movies, downtown Chicago, you know, the Randolph Theater, wherever we would go. And then right next door, there was a magic store. He would take me in there, and that's how I got to be a magician. And one day he went to work and bent over to pick up a pencil and never got up again and died of a cerebral hemorrhage. And so at age 10... this guy was a guy called Unc. He was just as important to me as a dad. We lived in a neighborhood a lot like Hamtramck, little 50-foot-wide lots, or 25-foot-wide lots, two flat-frame building, no basement. Grandma and Unc lived upstairs. I lived downstairs with my mom and dad and sister and brother. And so it was one big family. So the day he passed was early December. It was impactful all by itself, and again, I was 10. But then it was even harder because he had already started to buy Christmas presents. So we had to go under the tree and see presents for us from him. So it was 1968, probably to this day, is the most impactful moment of my life.
A couple of weeks ago, I was up north. I played True North Golf Clubs, which is spectacular, spiritual in a way. Then later, I got to fish on Burt Lake, watch the sun go down in the west,
oh, yeah,
and immediately the full moon come up. A lot of scientists say there's no God.
Yeah.
Why do you believe there's a God?
I personally can't see how you could argue the fact when you start to look at the intricacies of creation. You know, it's there are so many great ways to look at it. As a scientist, I think you can argue about the, you know, you get into the minutia of things, and that's where people separate. How many days did God say it took to create the heavens and the earth? Is a day a day? I mean, you get stuck in that kind of stuff. And I think that to say that the things that we have that make us tick, I mean, the millions of things just in our body, the human brain, outpacing any supercomputer by millions of times. I had somebody once say to me, you know, I've never seen the Creator, so, and you've never met him, so how do you know he's there? And I pointed to a sketch I have on my wall, a lithograph, and I said, well, I've never met this artist, but I know he created it. And so just to deny a creator because you haven't met him, I think that's an easy one to prove. So for me, I look at, that's why I told you at the beginning, I marvel in every single bit of creation that I see, because I wonder how could all of this have just come from some sludge hit by lightning. It doesn't compute to me.
Do you marvel at the creation called the Cubs?
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid on Bernard Street in Chicago, they used to come down Berto Avenue all the way from Wrigley Field. I lived about, 15-minute car ride from Wrigley. And don't ask me why. They used to wind their way down and go to a little pub, Pabst Blue Ribbon sign and all, right a block from my home. And that was one of the places my dad and my uncle used to frequent for a little adult beverage every once in a while. And I learned that the Cubs would come down my street, and I stood at the corner. And I got, at the time, you think I have them? I have no idea. If my mom threw them out, I had Ron Santo's autograph.
Kessinger.
Yeah, Richard. Right.
A couple weeks ago, they were playing in Colorado. 2 outs, bottom of the eighth, nobody on. Cubs are losing 5-2. And by the time the Cubs came to bat in the top of the ninth, Cubs were losing 17-2. 12 runs after 2 outs. Major league record. So, no, Cubs fans drink. Later this month, Mars is going to be as big as the moon. And we're not going to see that again for another 250 years or something.
Yeah.
Talk to us about this phenomenon that we're going to experience over the next couple of weeks.
Well, based on our position, you know, it's just like the moon we've had the past couple of nights. I think it was this morning I woke up and looked out and saw, it looks like about a half moon now. I don't know the technical size, but it looked to be about half moon. Our perspective and our place in the solar system is going to be such that we will now have this opportunity to see Mars. You know, many nights in the past 2 or 3 months, we've been able to look to the western horizon and see what looks like bright stars. And we've had this opportunity, we'll talk about it very frequently, to see multiple planets. But they never look that big.
I've been doing this show for 5 years. I'm not the host, I'm the beneficiary. It's been a blessing meeting great people as yourself. And whenever I meet somebody that has truly surrendered their life to God, you know, be not afraid. They just trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
There is an inner peace. Why is that, Chuck Gatica?
I've actually had family members ask me that. And I think in my case, I can't speak for everybody, I really have a feeling that I know where I'm going. I mean, eternally know where I'm going. And so what else could scare you? That's the way I look at it. I mean, seriously. And I never did. I say that now. But all the adventures and all the things that I've done really had nothing to do with that. I've become a much more well-read and introspective Christian now So I think that this is something more recent in my life. I really know where I'm headed. When I heard Ernie Harwell with Mitch Albom talk about he knew what his end game was, where he was going, that was an inner peace that we all can draw from. I mean, Ernie's a hero of mine for that reason in particular.
You know, the ultimate championship is not the Super Bowl, the World Series, not the Masters. The ultimate championship is eternity.
Yeah.
Where hopefully we all get to go. You started something called Cuddle Alert.
Yeah.
Quickly, what's that all about?
Well, you know, you asked me about seeing the news. How do I not get down about it? And I used to see, and still do, I see kids, you know, getting in, hurt in accidents, or they pull up and the parents have been taken to the hospital because of a fire. So I took this wacky, funny phrase, Cuddle Alert, and I developed a teddy bear, and we've now given away 8,000 teddy bears to firefighters in Southeast Michigan. So when they pull up, they can give a kid at times of tragedy or trauma a teddy bear, kind of take the edge off of their problem. And so that was my way of dealing with watching the news every night, saying, how can I help these kids? So that's kind of what we've done with it.
Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight, Chuck Gitika?
Wow. Turn off that texting on the cell phone. That'd be the first thing. I think this idea of perseverance, I mentioned that a lot. I don't know that everybody really knows that life is a little tougher than they think it is when they're younger. Everybody's unbreakable and they can do what they want. And I don't want to stifle that, but they have to persevere. They need to also seek wise counsel. I think that's helpful. Whether it's your pastor, whether it's you, I'm always helpful to kids who ask for my help or want to come visit the TV station. Find older people like me who forget a lot and ask them questions and let them remind you of where they were and what their story was and where they came from. And it's amazing how much wisdom a person like Jack Rasula could pass on to a young person. I think that's important too.
Chuck Gitika, talk about wisdom, talk about charm, talk about a blessing for this area. You are all of those.
Oh, thanks.
Please keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.